to the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we can read from verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Especially at verse 17, the first part of the verse, and take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. Here is the fifth piece of armor that we are directed by the Holy Spirit to take to ourselves. It's not an option for us. It's not something that would be nice to have. Every Christian soldier, and we're all soldiers in Christ's army, if we're his people, we are to take, we must take the whole armor of God and take the helmet of salvation. There seems to be an allusion to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 17, speaking of the Lord, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Helmet of salvation upon his head. Well, the helmet must go on the head. It's for no other part of the body but the head. And that's important to remember as we endeavor to proceed tonight. Paul the Apostle also uses the helmet as an illustration. In the chapter that we read, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8, where he's speaking about the hope of salvation and the hope of the resurrection. For we who are of the day, he says, we must be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. So, the helmet is here, an illustration of salvation, the hope of it, the consciousness of it. In the chapter we read, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul is emphasizing the hope of salvation. And that salvation by which all God's people are saved will be completely manifest at the resurrection. Then it will be clear to all who are those who are saved. It will be the manifestation of the sons of God. It will be all of God's people will be openly acknowledged, approved, acquitted in the day of judgment and made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. This salvation will reach its culmination at the resurrection day. And that's the context there of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where he speaks about the resurrection, where the first part of the chapter is speaking of the last day. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober, and so on. And then again, verse 10, speaking of Christ who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. I believe he's referring to the resurrection there. But here in where Paul is speaking of the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, the emphasis, we believe, is upon the salvation itself. It is not so much the hope of salvation, where salvation is leading to the ultimate manifestation of it at the resurrection day, but the fact that we are saved already. And if you compare this phrase, helmet of salvation, with some of the other pieces of armor, for example, the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness. Well, the breastplate of righteousness is righteousness. The shield of faith is faith. And the helmet of salvation is salvation. And that appears to be the focus. It's the salvation itself. Not that we're going to be saved, although that is true. We're going to be saved from Satan, saved from all sin and misery, finally and forever. But God's people are saved even now. The Lord Jesus said that at the moment a person believes in him, that person has present possession of eternal life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, John chapter 5, verse 24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, hath even now everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Even now, that person has passed from death unto life. That person is a saved person. So here is a present salvation. Here is eternal security now, even this moment. But you see, it's what Paul is speaking of here, the helmet of salvation, is not just the fact that we are saved, but the consciousness of the fact, the awareness that we are saved even now, so that a saved person may rightly say, being assured of salvation, I verily am aware that I am one of God's people. I was a child of wrath, but the Lord Jesus died for my sins. The Holy Spirit has put a new heart in me. God has made me one of his own. I am saved, and I know I'm saved. And this is the helmet of salvation. Yes, there is the hope of salvation, the ultimate manifestation, the fullest realization of salvation when God's people are openly acknowledged to be God's people. But that's a future hope, a future expectation of future glory. But even now, we may put on our heads the helmet of salvation, this consciousness that we are one of the saved. And being confident of this fact, what a long way it will go towards resisting the evil one. To be able to stand, to be strengthened in this fight, assured of victory, because we know we are saved. Satan will not gain much with a person who is certain he's one of God's saved people and will never fall from salvation, but has the assurance that they will never perish. Neither shall any man pluck God's children out of the hand of Christ. So that's what Paul is saying, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, so that after the fight, after the skirmish is over, when the dust has cleared, we're still found maintaining our ground. We're still standing. We haven't given up the fight. We haven't fallen foully. We're still standing, having done all to stand. And in order to stand, we need to take the helmet of salvation. And we'll try to summarize what we have to say tonight under three main heads. First, the helmet is an ornament. The helmet is an ornament. Secondly, the helmet is a protectant. The helmet is a protectant. And thirdly, the helmet makes us confident. The helmet makes us confident. And on the way to the prayer meeting tonight, we were talking with the children whether confidence is a good thing or a bad thing. And of course, it all depends on what confidence is in. If we are just hoping for the best, it's a vain confidence. If we are sure of ourselves and we know we can do it because we are so qualified, well, that's self-confidence. But if we are trusting in God, well, there is confidence, confidence in the Lord. The helmet is an ornament, the helmet is a protectant, and the helmet makes us confident. First, the helmet is an ornament. The helmet, at least the Roman helmet, for Roman soldiers was something attractive. It was originally made of leather and was ornamented with metallic plates. And, of course, it had a crest or a plume at the top. Later on, the helmets were made of bronze. Well, of course, you might think that the first thing you see when you see a soldier is the helmet. You look at the person's head, you see what's on the head, it's a helmet. And perhaps that's why it was, of all other pieces of armor, the most decorated. And so the helmet of salvation is a beautiful thing. Salvation itself is beautiful. And we read in Psalm 149, verse 4, that the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. The helmet of salvation is beautiful, and God will beautify his people with salvation. We read of the garments of salvation, rejoicing in the Lord, being beautified, being covered with the white robe of righteousness and with the garments of salvation. And this tells us, friends, that without the helmet of salvation, we're not attractive. Without salvation itself, we are ugly, ugly with sin. We may be the fairest person in the world, like Absalom, without one blemish. But if we don't have salvation, we are unattractive, unlovely, vile, despicable, corrupt, abominable. That describes us by nature. And we're all like that by nature, children of disobedience, children of wrath. And it's only when Christ takes us to himself and covers us with his white raiment, washes us clean, then we are beautiful in his sight. The helmet of salvation, well, it decorates us. It is our glory. God forbid that we should glory save anything but Christ and him crucified. And so we might also think of salvation as making us joyful as well. Something very pleasing, very comely. When we are saved, we rejoice. When we know we're saved, we rejoice. We read in Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 1, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." What greater thing to be joyful about? There is nothing that you can rejoice in more than being saved. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory forever and ever. Mary said, "My soul hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Salvation. God is our salvation. He is our Savior. But more than beauty, the helmet is necessary in the spiritual war. War is not pleasant, but there must be war if we're on God's side, because Satan does his utmost to ruin and destroy God's people. And so we must fight, and in order to stand, we must take the helmet of salvation. It is attractive, it is comely, we rejoice in it, but we must have it in order to stand. And so we find that, in the second place, the helmet is a protectant. When we are presented with opposition and great danger, for example, in a car accident, a crash, or if missiles are being hurled at us and we're in great danger, maybe we're in a hailstorm, what is it that we protect first of all? It's our head. We cover our heads immediately. We feel the need of a covering. That's the first thing, maybe our eyes, our mouth, our head. Well, the spiritual helmet provides protection from danger, and more specifically from fear and cowardliness. The helmet of salvation gives us confidence, which we'll notice in a moment. But think about how if we are unprotected, if we are fearful, we hang our heads down. We keep our heads covered the best way we can. And that half attempt to cover our heads blocks our view. It disables us. It hinders us. If we're going about a last-minute covering, just taking the analogy of everyday life, we use our arms to protect our heads, and well, we can't use our arms for anything else. And what I'm getting at is that if we are not protected, if we're not making use of the helmet of salvation, we are greatly hindered, greatly disabled. Perhaps we will become despondent, sad, when we are not assured of our salvation. Well, then we are very likely to succumb to any kind of discouraging thoughts, perplexity, and Satan will take advantage of that. Just like you hear a ferocious dog will sense that you're afraid and take advantage. It will give him even more boldness, whereas if you made a bold stand against that ferocious dog, well, at least the dog would start back a moment, speaking from a little bit of experience here. So when Satan sees that we are weakened because we are not assured, we're not confident in the Lord, well, that gives him something to work with. He will take advantage of us. Another example is if you are afraid and you're holding something, trembling, well, you're that much more likely to drop it, aren't you? You need strength, you need boldness, confidence to hold what you have firmly so that it won't slip from your hands, it won't be shaken and easily snatched from you. Well, the helmet of salvation protects us from the blows of Satan. He is less likely to overcome us when we are not only saved, but we know that we're saved. When we're conscious that we're saved, if we are already weakened in that area and we are doubting our salvation, Satan will take advantage. You can't even be sure you're one of God's children. Well, probably it's because you're not saved, and you might as well give up the fight. Look how difficult it is for you. But if you join my ranks on my side, you'll have it so much easier. You can just go with smooth sailing and have an easy life. Just give up the fight altogether, and you can join the ranks with those who have a comfortable life in this world. Satan will gain an advantage over those who are not sure where they stand. And that is why we need the helmet of salvation. William Gurnall writes that there are two things that make the head hang down. One is fear and the other is shame. Fear and shame. If we're afraid, we hang our heads down. If we're ashamed, we hang our heads down. But having the helmet of salvation, we may hold our head high. We may go forward with confidence. We may be bold against the enemy, not afraid of Satan, not afraid that he will have an advantage over us, not in one degree yielding to his temptation to give up the fight, to be treacherous, and to join his ranks and identify ourselves in Satan's camp. No, bold to stand strong against the enemy because of the helmet of salvation. And that's the third point. The helmet makes us confident. We are confident, first of all, because we are conscious of salvation. not only saved, but we know we're saved. We are conscious, we are aware that we are one of God's saved children. When you think of the helmet, you think of the head, you think of consciousness. Well, put it this way, if you want to discover if a person is conscious or not, what do you look at? You don't look at the feet, not even the hands, you look at their head. Are they conscious? How do you know that you're conscious? Well, I'm thinking, you say. Well, you know you're conscious because you're thinking. The helmet over the head tells us of thinking and consciousness, and the helmet of salvation is the consciousness of salvation. We know we're saved. Our minds are at rest. We're not filled with perplexing thoughts whether we are one of God's children or not. We are saved and we know we're saved. And that gives us confidence. Remember, our spirit bears witness. We are conscious of the childlike spirit that we have, conscious of these cries to God, that we're trusting in Him, that Christ is precious to us. And then the Holy Spirit comes alongside our own spirit, bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, well, that is the guarantee that we are heirs. We're saved. And we are saved even now. And so here is confidence, not in ourselves, but confidence in God because of His grace and what He has done and His giving us the assurance of it. He gives us the helmet of salvation. Trusting in God that cannot lie. As David prays, preserve me, O God. He knows that he will be kept safe. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Here is how we assure our hearts. David encouraged himself in the Lord, and the Lord his God. So we are conscious of being saved, and therefore confident of our salvation. Having the helmet of salvation, we may hold our head high going forward when the captain of our salvation calls us to fight, because we know that we are saved even now, and we are assured that the victory has been won already. And yes, we have the hope of salvation, the manifestation of the sons of God. When you have the helmet of salvation, you don't need to hang your head down in shame. There's nothing to be afraid of. We may go forward boldly. We may keep our chin up because there's nothing that will disappoint us. We do not need to be embarrassed that we are called Christians. We must not be embarrassed to live like Christians. Paul says we have a hope that maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We have a good hope through grace, and we will never be disappointed. We will not be ashamed. We will not come at the end of our journey and find out that we struggled for nothing. No, we have the certainty of it all, a good hope. Paul says, I do suffer these things, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Here is certainty. Paul is conscious of his trust in God, and he is assured that because of the word of God, he will not be ashamed. He has a hope that will never make him ashamed. The consciousness of salvation, the helmet of salvation. Unbelief is a great enemy as well. When we suffer in this world, we meet with difficulty, unbelief will say, how can I be one of God's children when everything seems to go against me? Satan will assault us and say that you cannot possibly think that Christ loves you when you have so much evidence to the contrary. The whole world is against you. Nothing is going for you. if he loved you, would you be so afflicted in this way? But the hope of salvation, or the helmet of salvation, brings the certainty of it all before us. And the word of God is certain. We know from his word that nothing will separate us from his love, and that he loves us not because we have earned it, but because we are his children. A parent does not love the child because the child has somehow earned that favor or love, but because he or she is a child. The very fact of a child or childhood brings the parent to love the child. So if we're God's children, he loves us, and we know he loves us, not because we have become lovely or have deserved it, but because he has done it. He brought us into his family. He made us one of his own. And all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Being children, we are heirs of God, heirs of salvation. God is on our side. He is our salvation. And he gives the assurance of it in the ways that he has appointed. But remember, we are to take the helmet of salvation. It's not a suggestion. We're to seek this assurance, seek this certainty. And how can we be at rest until we have it, till we know that we're his children? To know that Christ is our beloved, that we are his, that he loved us and gave himself for us. And so it is our duty to seek this grace of assurance. And secondly, in conclusion, to think about the greatness of this salvation. If our minds are full of thoughts of the greatness of salvation, being saved from hell and brought into everlasting glory, from the one to the other, the greatness of this salvation and the greatness of our Savior, Satan will have very little advantage over us. Thinking, conscious, having this helmet upon our head, busy with thoughts of the promises of God and the hope of eternal blessedness. And the opposite of that is an idle mind, which Satan will have great advantage over. And finally, praise the Lord for his glorious salvation. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore, for great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. God is our strength, God is our salvation. As David in the psalm says, O God the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Thou hast covered my head with the helmet of salvation. Are not the children of God praying that God would speak to them by his word and spirit? Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. How we should prize this benefit, this blessing of assurance of his love, and pray earnestly for it, and use all the means to obtain this certainty, taking the helmet of salvation. And perhaps you're here tonight saying, well, how can I even be saved? Well, you know the way of salvation. And the question is, have you laid it to heart? The way is plain, the way is clear. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Well, what think ye of Christ? What do you think of his name and how he reveals himself as prophet, priest, and king? And the wonder of his merit, the fullness of the infinite value of his sacrifice. Are you thinking about these things? Is it your daily habit and practice to take portions of the Word of God and plead them at a throne of grace? Portions of the Word of God that contain salvation, that show you plainly, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That's what I need, forgiveness. It's only through Jesus. Lord, help me to come to Jesus. I need to be forgiven. Lord, I would believe. Oh, help my unbelief. That's the problem. It's my failure to believe. That's the only hindrance. It's my unbelief. Well, then ask for the Holy Spirit, because he gives the Holy Spirit to them that ask. And be assured that he's calling, and he's calling again. Come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And yet there is room. You're hearing the invitation again. Do you value it? The invitation to come to Christ, to come for salvation, that you might experience that salvation and put on the whole armor of God. What a day that will be. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. What did God give you a mind for? Rest in him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Do you have anywhere else to go? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Take the helmet of salvation. May he bless his word. Let us pray.